93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever. Forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Another week, another lockdown Football Hour. Another week where Liam forgets to unmute myself, ready for the show. Good evening, welcome to Lockdown Football Hour, episode 5 of this special edition of the show. Express FM Facebook page, we are live right now. Comment below your thoughts, opinions, and stories you want to share over the next 60 minutes or so. It's been another 7 days, and we are still no closer to finding out what's going to happen to EFL League One and Pompey and their respective rivals in the division. Who knows? Will Pompey be going up, or well, whoever goes down will be staying in the third division? The answers are still unclear, but we've still got plenty to discuss tonight. Joining myself, Liam Howes and Ryan Stillwell, the Pompey Live team this evening, is Pompey's own Ollie Marsh, media man at the Football Club, who at the moment is going through a pretty tough time trying to think of some content to produce for the Football Club. But did a cracker job of it, and we'll get his thoughts later on the show. So once again, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us for episode 5 of Lockdown Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Liam Howes, Ryan Stillwell, thank you both for joining me once again on another tireless and somewhat boring week in the world of football, but still somewhat something to discuss tonight, and I think that is the nothingness that we have actually heard, Liam.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing really to look forward to, I know it's irrelevant to us, but it is the Premier League coming back, so it sort of makes you, it's certainly a little bit, you know, something to look forward to, but like you're saying, Jake, as it stands for League One, it is what it is. Nothing's happening. But I mean, the fact that the Premier League is coming back, it makes me a little bit hopeful that we can get back to normal at some point in the near distant future. But with regards to this season, no one knows still. Another week, no one knows.
Yeah. And it's another week, Ryan, and another EFL board statement, of which has been, well, breaking news, update. There's no real update. There's been a bit of news in it, which we will share in just a few moments' time, but it just seems as though the communication and the knowledge between anyone in the division, you know, be it ourselves, fans, you know, journalists, Ollie, of course, media man at the club, EFL themselves, no one still, 5 weeks on after we started the show, has a clue as to what's going to happen.
No, the breaking news from the EFL was that there was no breaking news, which is fantastic to hear from your governing body when you're on the doorstep of June. But I've done a little bit of reading between the lines on the EFL statement, and we'll get to that a little bit later on in what I think is happening in the dungeon of the EFL, what's happening in the basement as they have some quiet discussions. It's a little bit cynical, but yeah, when we share the news later on, I'll share my thoughts in why their statement of nothing I think actually means quite a lot. But yeah, in that's surrounding League One. The good news is that, hey, at least the Premier League decided what they were going to do.
Well, on a brighter note, lads, let's welcome in our guest for this week's show. Ollie Marsh joins us in the top left, bottom right corner, whatever way you're looking at it. Ollie Marsh, media man at the Football Club, Portsmouth FC, joins us on Lockdown Football Hour episode 5. Ollie, thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Thanks for having me on. Really enjoyed the tuning in to all the shows so far. It's nice to have a little bit of normality in having the Football Hour / Pompey Live gang together to chat about football. So, yeah, I've been enjoying it.
It must be difficult for you over the last few weeks, Ollie, in particular the month of May, being someone who, you know, your job is to troll through the archives of the club to keep the fans entertained and, of course, updated with what's going on in the world of football, the world of League One, Pompey and everything. Usually there's quite a lot for you to share, but as of this moment of time, it must be quite strenuous for you to actually find something to do.
Yeah, there's normally too much going on, but you know, now that we're in this state of affairs, I'd much rather go back to having Tuesday, Saturday games all the way through. We've just been trying to, really the two main things is, first of all, just putting out enough content so that, you know, we sort of fill the void that football has left for a lot of people. Obviously, everybody knows how passionate and fervent Portsmouth fans are, and pretty much everybody in the city is passionate about football. So just trying to give them something to buy into. And then second of all, just trying to keep them updated as much as possible. As you've sort of already alluded to, there hasn't been a huge amount to update them on, but, you know, Mark and Kenny have been fantastic at giving up their time so that they can speak openly and honestly, like they always do, about what's going on and their thoughts on it. And we've enjoyed chatting to them, and hopefully it's sort of helped the fans stay connected to the club a little bit. We're a bit stuffed because we've just about run out of On This Day content to do, so we're going to have to find something else. Some of the goal of the days and old matches we look back on will start getting a bit more random, but hopefully still there's enough for people to get their teeth stuck into.
As frustrating as it is, Ollie, and how difficult it must be to, like you say, produce this kind of content, it also kind of acts as a bit of a learning curve for yourself, for myself, you know, Liam and Ryan, to, you know, in a few years down the line, we can say that, okay, we managed to do our jobs despite having not a lot to do. So for yourself, it must actually be quite a good thing, because it helps you in a way to grow in your respective industry.
Yeah, I mean, Mark has always said Portsmouth as a club are at their best when their backs are up against the wall. So this is just another challenge. And I mean, you know, we have a good team. It's a small team at Pompey. It's myself, Neil Weld and Jack Fallon, and then Max Swatton doing a fantastic job with the women's team and PITC as well. But together, we've just sort of, to be fair, seen it from the start as a good opportunity to invest a little bit more time and effort into more timeless content, things that we ordinarily wouldn't have enough time to be able to do, because we're in Rochdale one week and Accrington the next. So that's been good. And I mean, I think we've all sort of fallen into the trap at one point or another over the past few weeks of just getting stuck on YouTube videos, watching them over and over again. So we're just trying to stock our YouTube channel full of as many sort of like as much timeless content as possible, so that if people do fall down the Pompey YouTube rabbit hole, there's enough stuff to keep them going.
Yeah. I highly advise following Pompey's social media accounts across YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. It's a much better watch, Liam, than your own personal Twitter, Facebook accounts. Throughout the last two or three weeks, all I've seen is really terrible dad jokes and updates on the International Space Station and what time it's passing by your house. So
I mean, you have a dig at me there about the space station, but if you go out and watch it, you'll be praising me for letting you know. But yeah, I agree. It's great to have, and especially for the younger fans as well, that, you know, live on social media as it is. It's good for them to relive some memories that I have from, you know, when I was younger. Some of the games you've replayed have really brought it back for me. That's why I'm wearing one of my older shirts tonight. But yeah, don't know what your question was, Dave. But yeah, it's good. It's good to have the stuff on social media. Definitely.
Wasn't really a question, it was more just...
Yeah, I know, but yeah, I just might try and answer
your social media.
No, but Liam is right, Ryan and Ollie, about the match replays, the full match replays on a Saturday, 3 o'clock. That's a fantastic way to keep the football going throughout this lockdown period, as long as it's going to last, to give fans that 90 minutes of football to watch at the weekend. That's a fantastic way, and I think Liam's hit the nail on the head for once in his life, and it's for the younger fans to really grow up watching Pompey and see what they have missed over the years. So yeah, it's a fantastic thing to do. Ryan, it's been another week since we've obviously heard from you as well. Have you done much to keep yourself entertained, much to keep yourself sane? Any big ambiguous words to come out with this evening?
I do have a couple of words that will make their way into what may turn into a rant of mine later based on the EFL delay. But in terms of the past week, still working away, still feeling fairly privileged that I can still earn a full wage in these times, especially considering there's still a lot of uncertainty about who can do what. So, yeah, it's been a fairly normal week on that basis. And I shall hopefully regale you with some words I've implemented into tonight's show at some point.
I think regale is already one of them. It's not very long, but it's quite a strange one to throw out there. Should we get on to that EFL statement then, shall we, Lance? Because it's obviously the big topic of debate for tonight's show. And Ryan, you said that.
I just saw that, Liam.
I had an itch.
What's he done?
Nothing, carry on.
The things I can't see again. It's obviously the big elephant in the room, this EFL statement. And they've basically said in it, Ollie, is that the 8th of June is a date we need to pen in our diaries as really the date that the EFL, the League One clubs, 23 of them, need to come to some sort of decision as to what they want to do with the rest of the campaign. Essentially, sort of a deadline for these clubs without actually saying the word, this is a deadline for you to come to us and say what you want.
Yeah, I mean, the 8th of June is, I think it's a Monday. You're sort of looking then at announcements sort of on the Thursday and Friday. So there's sort of be another little waiting period after that. But I mean, I did check the statement earlier when it first came out. It's 343 words long. So I'll leave it up to you guys to decide whether that was 343 words well spent. I certainly thought it didn't really say a lot, but you know, it just sort of elongates this period that we've been waiting for some sort of decision. And you know, it's questionable whether the EFL could have been more decisive. I obviously understand that League One is probably the most difficult league to sort out because, as you guys have discussed before, you've got such a wide spectrum of teams. You know, Sunderland and Accrington are going to be able to deal with the situation in you know, very different ways. So you know, I have a lot of sympathy for them, but just think it's, you know, mid-March, that's how long we've been without football, and the longer you keep it rumbling on, the longer you keep it waiting, the more speculation you're going to have, the more chances there are of, for example, Tranmere sort of essentially putting a spanner in the works by coming up with a totally new method of sorting out the season, which coincidentally sees them not relegated. So hopefully we'll get a decision soon, and yeah, we're sort of looking at a couple of weeks from now, towards the end of that week, we'll be able to find out what is going on and then plan on from there.
Liam's told me to put on some headphones.
Much better.
I think my audio was messing up a little bit there. I was giving a bit of a test, but kind of echoing what Ollie's saying there, Liam, is really talking about what we've been saying the last few weeks, is that teams and clubs are going to vote for what really suits them.
Mm.
And you can't really blame anyone. It is, as going back to what we said last week, it's a case of no one's really got a wrong opinion in this. Everyone is looking out for their best interest in some way or another.
And this is where it gets, you know, it turns messy into a nightmare. But then you look at the teams around the middle of the table with nothing really to lose. What are they going to decide? Are they the ones? To be honest, I haven't seen the... I saw a tweet you shared earlier, Ryan, about a prediction of what will happen with this vote. But I haven't really looked at the teams. I didn't look at the teams that they reckon, yeah, will vote with this and
I've
that.
I've got the list up here.
Okay. It's just, like you say, teams are going to selfishly go for what suits them best. I think the main thing I want to come out of this, as much as, you know, I should only care about my own club, but I don't want to see any club disappear from this. I want every club, I want there to be, you know, but I can't see it happening. I hate to say it, like Alan said the other week, I can only see a handful of clubs, you know, folding from this, and it's inevitable really, isn't it? Unless...
I think we'd all rather see, you know, as fans of our respective clubs, we'd rather see our clubs not gain promotion or, you know, or get relegated, you know, on terms of points per game or whatever. So long as the league kind of... You know, the league structure and all 92 teams or 91 teams, yeah, are still there. You know, I think I would happily say that if Pompey were to spend next season in League One at the expense of every other team surviving from this financially and not seeing another case of Bury.
I'm just about to say, if Pompey were top of the league flying and they did it on points per game, and we were, you know, if they'd gone for the points per game, we could go up, or we had the choice of keeping ending the season and everyone survives, I would genuinely go for that, because I was gutted when Bury went. Then it means nothing to me, but I'm sure you were all the same. I was gutted. We all were.
Well, you think of the younger generation as well. I mean, myself and Ryan, and even you, Liam, when Pompey were going through those troubled times back between 2009, 2012,
we're shot anyone.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, we were all very young, and even if you're young, if you're old,
from a couple of teams.
you're losing your football club. You're losing your, you know, your religion. Your what you do on a weekend. Your social life. That's it's not something you can replace with anything. You can't just go and support another team. It doesn't work like that. That is your team. That is your heart. That is you can't take that away. So yeah, totally. I think having been in that position as a Pompey fan, you certainly don't wish that on anyone, even that lockdown the road, Liam. I know you.
No, I wasn't talking about them actually.
Oh, you're not. Okay.
A bit further up north. Anyway, for the first time today, I just went while it's in my head. Ryan, you know we meet up at the I drive you back to the pub on the way and obviously jump in your car.
Yes.
What's the pub called?
Good Companion.
That's the one, Good Companion. I don't know that.
Oh.
For the first time. For the first time today, how many weeks have we been in this lockdown now?
10 to 11.
This is the first day that I've genuinely been gutted, but absolutely gutted about Pompey not being playing football. So I drove down to Portsmouth for the first time today, because obviously I'm up in Stubbington. And I saw Fratton Park and it honestly made me feel sick. I just thought, this is horrible. But this is the first real day that it's really hit me. So hurry up. Please.
I thought you were going to start crying then.
I mean, I'm not you, Jake, so I don't cry.
Nice.
I've just been told off.
You just get a telling off.
Liam's been told off by his missus. That's brilliant.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Should we go through that list of teams who are expected to expected to vote one way or another before Liam gets a slap on the wrist? According to this source, who says this is according to a survey of League One football writers and journalists of how the League One teams are expected to vote. So there are currently, apparently, 9 clubs who have voted to play the remaining of the season. There have been 11 votes to end the season with points per game unweighted, implemented, and 3 clubs still waiting their vote, still waiting to decide. Those 3 clubs are Doncaster Rovers, MK Dons, and Southend United. 3 teams who are in rather different situations in the table. And looking at the unweighted points per game table, Southend United would, unsurprisingly, be relegated down to League 2. MK Dons would just survive at the expense of Tranmere Rovers. Doncaster Rovers would miss out on the playoffs. So I think financially, Ollie, from Southend's point of view, we go to them first. Is it a case for them that if they just end the season now, it essentially helps them to save the running costs of putting these football games on? They know they're all but down and out already. Is it a case of just accepting defeat and taking it on the chin just to survive next season?
I think for Southend, to be quite honest with you, they could probably play every week between now and 2013, they'd still end up going down. I really do think they've been sort of relegation fodder from day one. And as you say, you can't underestimate the costs of playing the rest of the games for that size of club, because it's not just the lack of game money, it's also the testing and all of the precautions that you have to go through for you know, to make that possible. So I can totally understand from their point of view why they'd, you know, vote to end the season, and I think obviously, you know, MK Dons would as well.
Yeah.
You know, for Doncaster, they're the team, right?
Yeah, Doncaster and MK Dons. Yeah.
I think Doncaster could probably go either way, because obviously they've still got a chance at promotion. It's just whether they want to, you know, I suppose the decision is you've got to weigh up the you know, possible reward versus the cost of playing those games.
Yeah.
You'd like to think that they sort of would vote to play the rest of the season, which is, you know, what Pompey's stance has been. They've been pretty consistent with that view throughout. But, you know, it's a difficult one to judge. And there's teams on that list as well where I think, you know, there probably is a question mark next to the name. You've got, like, I think the weird one for me is you've got Bristol Rovers, who are like as mid-table as you can get. And yet they're down to, on that stat graphic, they're down to continue playing the rest of the season because they want to give their manager some more time to sort of judge the players, which, you know, for me, you can understand that. But again, there's the cost. And, you know, as a manager, can you judge your players on a pre-season schedule or in training just as easily? You know, so there's a few that could go either way. But, you know, it is fairly split, you know, 9 versus 11 with 3 undecided. So it'll be very, very interesting to see what happens. And for those teams that do have the question marks next to them, it'll be even more interesting to see how they go.
Yeah.
So the comment on the stream, Jake, if you want me to read it.
Yeah.
Josh Knight says, can we potentially have the Premier League finishing and relegating without the Championship promoting and relegating and then League One, etc.? So what happens there? Because Premier League starting again, the Championship more likely will start again. What happens then?
See, this is the mess we're in, because if League Two, although League Two hasn't come to their own conclusion indefinitely, you know, they've said that they're going to stop the season, they're going to put it on expected finishing. So you've got Swindon, I think Crewe and Plymouth going up automatically with a few teams in the playoffs, and they're still debating whether to send Stevenage down to the National League. That's still an ongoing case in itself. But you've got three teams coming up from League Two. We don't know who's going down to League Two. We don't know who's going up to the Championship, like you say, Liam. And if Premier League are continuing to play, then surely that sends out a signal of intent that they are going to send three teams down, as you would expect. So surely from then onwards, you think, okay, Championship have got to send three up. And then you can't not relegate anyone, because they end up with 27 teams. So it has a knock-on effect. So I think based on what's going on all around us, League One is probably the messiest of the leagues so far.
But then surely, I don't know why I'm just, this is just clocking on now, but surely the Premier League has been confirmed to restart. Surely League One will finish.
That's the question. That is
you simply cannot not finish the season with the other.
If the Premier League is finishing, Ryan, why on earth can't the Championship, League One, and League Two finish in the same time frame? If we've got nine games left.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, no.
Because League Two unanimously voted. You League Two was able to come to their own conclusion because they unanimously voted, decided that none of the clubs in that league could afford to continue paying players for an extended period. This is why some clubs are releasing players. I've mentioned Colchester a couple of times. They're in the playoffs. And then you've got to pay for coronavirus tests. Every club in League Two decided that was an expense they couldn't afford, which is why they voted to end it and go for the points per game and send teams up. And they didn't want to send Stevenage down, but the EFL kind of overruled them on that, saying, no, if you want teams to go up, you have to send a team down as well, which may then end up actually seeing Barrow come into the Football League. So there'd be some negotiations between the Premier League, the EFL and the National League to make it all happen. The driving force is money, because you can still broadcast all these Premier League games, and these Premier League clubs are rich enough to offset the cost of tests and player wages. Andy Holt, as being the Accrington chairman, has been quite forthcoming on the financial issues of a club like Accrington to pay for coronavirus tests and continue paying their players, which is why he wants the season to end. And you can understand it from their viewpoint, because he's trying to financially safeguard the future of his club, his staff, his players, everything that's A to Z when it comes to his football club. And that's where the EFL statement today is really annoying to me, because I read between the lines on it.
Strap in, boys.
From the very start, the EFL has said that they want to play the season out on the field. So they've come out with a statement from the start. They've declared their intentions. They want to finish the season on the field. But obviously, with that list, you've got 11 clubs saying they don't want to play the rest of the season. They just want to call it. You've got nine that want to play it out. You've got three undecided. The EFL framework they put out the other week said that you need 51% of teams to vote for either way to end the season. And with those three undecided votes, it, as you said earlier, it could go either way. I believe the EFL is stalling for time, because obviously they want to play the season out on the field. As of the League One meeting yesterday, more clubs wanted to end the season than play it. I think the EFL very sneakily decided we've still got three undecided votes, and those votes might still go to wanting to play the season out. I think the EFL has actually delayed the vote themselves to see if the sect of clubs that want to play out the season can convince those three undecided teams to come over to their side and play out the remainder of the season. I think the EFL could genuinely be that underhanded enough to say, we'll delay the vote by another week and a half. That's all the time you've got to see if you can pull those three undecided teams onto the side of playing. Because I guarantee you, it was the other way around, and the EFL's stated this everywhere. If it was the other way around, and let's say 11 clubs wanted to play out the season, and then it was the nine that wanted to end it, and you had three undecided. The EFL probably would have said, no, vote today. Get this sorted out. And I don't think the clubs will fall alongside. Ollie, you explain the situations of each club that hasn't decided. No way Southend are going to play on. There's nothing they can do. And they're broke as it is. They have financial issues that they won't play on. MK Dons, they're not going down by any system that's been mooted as of yet. And again, they've got financial issues. I think a couple of years ago, their owner used the word hemorrhaging when it came to their financial accounts, which is not a word you want to use in the financial, well, in any world. Hemorrhaging is not good for anyone. Doncaster have an outside shot at the playoffs, so maybe that would be your 10th. But I genuinely think the EFL are being sneaky enough to say, we're going to push this back for 2 weeks because we want to see if we can convince those last three teams in League One to play out the season. And all it's doing is causing more hassle. The fact this is drawing on longer is causing each club with precarious financial situations to get only worse. The cost of running a club without gaining income from actually playing games and, say, preparing for next season, sorting out some kind of season ticket revenue where half of it's iFollow, half of it's being at the games for 2021. You know, football may have stopped, but the dwindling finances of football clubs, that hasn't stopped. Those finances are continuing to plummet. So I think that EFL is very short-sighted. I think they're taking a short-term view of how do we get the season finished, rather than what the long-term view should be is how on earth do we get 72 Football League clubs to start and finish next season? Because that should be their priority. The EFL is the governing football body of football in this country. They shouldn't be thinking about how do we get Bristol Rovers to play Shrewsbury on a Tuesday night in June. No, they should be thinking about how you can keep clubs afloat to safeguard the future of English football. The short-sightedness of the EFL in delaying this vote only spells prolonged trouble for clubs in League 2, League 1, even the Championship, where clubs are struggling. And this will come back to haunt teams because it just there is no answer in sight. And even if you get a vote on June 8th, it'll be what? The last week of June before we play any playoffs? Because you can't send teams straight into a playoff battle and then off to Wembley. So, yeah, the EFL was very short-sighted on this. And I ran a poll on Twitter earlier. Do you think 72 clubs will start and finish the Football League next season? It's currently about 300 votes on there. And I think it's 76% think that's a no. You know, basically 3 in 4 regular football fans think that the EFL have mismanaged this so badly that we will not see an entire Football League next season. There will be holes everywhere. One club's already fallen asunder under their fine stewardship. How many are going to tot up next year?
Hard to argue.
I'll ask the three of you now. I asked you two last week, and I think you both said no. Ollie, I'll bring you in as well. With the current state of the delaying tactics of the EFL and the fact that there seems to be absolutely no scope for next season, do you genuinely see three divisions of 24 starting on the first game and finishing at the 46th game next season? I'm saying no.
Yeah, I saw the poll earlier. I'm one of the people who voted no, to be honest. I think there's too many clubs who are already in a precarious position. You look at, you mentioned Southend, you know, Macclesfield or another one. There may be others who we don't know about yet. It's, you know, this is such a struggle for them as it is. And to have sort of this whole thing keep rumbling on without knowing whether they're sort of going to be able to, you know, what decisions they should be making really is got to be difficult for them. And I do feel a lot of sympathy for them.
The strange thing that I've seen is that one of the teams who have voted to play on the rest of the season, that's is Bristol Rovers, who we've mentioned.
Yeah, Ollie mentioned and, that. And it is a weird one.
They've got nothing to gain, but they're also, from what I've heard, they're going through their own sort of financial issues themselves.
They did, because they were meant to build a brand new stadium in conjunction with University of England.
Yeah.
And that was gaining some progress until this season when the ownership at Bristol Rovers and UWE completely fell out. So now they're stuck at the Mem again, which takes in a Fratton Park sense, needs a lot of upkeep to maintain because that thing is falling apart. Anyone who's ever been there will not dispute that one bit. So they're now stuck at the Mem again for the foreseeable future, paying a lot of rent on a decaying stadium. And yeah, it was an odd one to see them go on. When Ollie mentioned them as well, it was the first team I saw on that list. I thought, why?
Yeah.
It was a very odd one.
It is an odd one. And I think out of the three of us, Lee and Ryan, that went to the Mem earlier this season, I think only I went up to the press box on that day. I was all by myself. And it was, Ollie was there, I remember. And it was quite a sight, wasn't it, Ollie? It was quite a, I think Ryan has said it, you know, it, in a respectful way, it is falling apart. It's a very old stadium, but it is unique. It's unique to Bristol Rovers. It's their home. It's like Fratton Park to us. It's their pride and joy. No matter how decaying and old and falling apart it is, it's their home.
Yeah, I have to say, I can confirm that the Mem is not a nice place to be stuck at, so I feel sympathy with the Rovers in that sense as well, especially on a very rainy day, which it was early season.
Yeah, that wasn't very nice. Let's go to some of the other teams who have allegedly decided what they're going to do. And on unweighted points per game table, the top three stands at Coventry and Rotherham, who'd get automatically promoted, and Wickham, who would finish third. They are three teams who allegedly would vote to end the season with points per game implemented. I mean, you've got fourth down to 14th, excluding Doncaster, who have all voted to continue playing the season effectively because they've all got something to play for. Pompey, Oxford, Fleetwood, Peterborough, Sunderland, Gillingham, Ipswich as well, Bristol Rovers as well, from him, and they all think they've got something to play for. And then the only team really in the bottom half, excluding Bristol Rovers, is Tranmere Rovers, who, unsurprisingly, currently in the bottom three, where they would remain if this points per game was implemented. They want to carry on the rest of the season because they want to try and survive in the division. Whereas the three or four teams above them, Rochdale, Wimbledon, Accrington Stanley, MK Dons, who haven't voted yet, the rest of them are saying they want to end the season because it keeps them safe. So it is everyone voting within their best interests. And that's clear to see. It's
every man for himself on the sinking ship. I mean, Tram is an interesting case because we played them at the start of February. And a couple of weeks before that, I think it might have been two game weeks before that, they were at least double-digit points away from safety. I think it might be 11 or 12 there from safety. And they hadn't been on a blitzing run of any sort, but because of how slowly points are accrued down the bottom end of the table, they have actually picked up. It was almost as if they were on a palatable run of form, and they were thinking, well, you know, we were cast away like Southend and Bolton, but they'd actually pulled it back to a point where you think they are back in the relegation fight or the safety fight, because they're only 3 points off now. A month and a half, they'd pulled it back from being 11, 12 points away to three, and they may even had a game in hand somewhere at some point. So you can understand why they want to see it out. And as you said, it's every man for himself or every club for themselves at the minute. And That's where the EFL has a massive issue, because obviously League Two has fully decided that they want to call it for cost issues. Most Championship clubs, by a majority, want to play out the season as well, because it's quite a tight relegation battle. It's quite a tight promotion battle, and most clubs are fairly financially secure enough to get on with it. And then League One, where it's this unbelievable split down the middle. It's almost like any political vote, where again it's edging either side of 50-50 that we've had in recent years, and it reflects poorly on the EFL, the fact they haven't weighed into to basically be the authoritative head of this. It's like the kids are fighting in the back seat on a road trip and the parents just trying to ignore it and drive on. At some point you do actually have to sort it out, because
like an away day.
Yeah. Hey, you're the kids in the back seat fighting while I'm trying to drive.
Opening the door.
And it does reflect poorly on the clubs as well, because most other leagues in most other nations have at some point actually sat down and come to an agreement on this. It may not have been the ideal way to end a season. Of course not. You want to play out your season, but in such circumstances, you actually have to at some point sit down and put aside your own needs and your own wishes and come together for the good of A, your division, and B, football in general. League One is somewhat an outlier right now in the sense that it has not figured out what on earth to do. The other three professional leagues in England have decided what they want to do. pretty much. The National League, the three tiers encompassing the National League, they've all decided what they're going to do. All of Scotland's decided, Germany, France, Holland, Spain, they've all decided. There's just this weird little league in England that contains Portsmouth, Accrington, Southend, Wimbledon and Peterborough that are still pistols at dawn. Anything, you know, come on now. At some point, you have to put your own personal whims aside and think, this is actually starting to make you look like a clown show.
Like I said at the start of this, there should have been authority from the Football League, and they should have said, this is what you do.
Not, exactly, yeah.
Not what it's got to now. Like, yeah. Why was League Two like supposedly sorted before the Premier League, then the Premier League? It's just a joke. It's the whole thing's a mess.
I think in the case of Tranmere Rovers, I think they started believing in miracles themselves. When Ryan was talking about their kind of resurgence in their fight for survival, Wally, I think they started believing in miracles around February time at Prenton Park when Pompey opened the scoring through a man named Sean Raggett.
Oh, we need a Raggett reference in this show.
I knew it was coming.
You set it up perfectly and I just swung it out of the park, Ryan. Sean Raggett, he helped Tranmere Rovers to their surgeons. But speaking of content for the club, Ollie, when it comes to a player like Sean Raggett, who has had such an up and down time at Pompey so far, I don't know why you're all laughing, but when he scored that goal, how was it as a member of a media team? How did you manage to get that out to the fans that Sean Raggett had scored for Pompey?
I mean, it's one of the biggest events of history, isn't it? Sean Raggett scoring for Pompey. To be fair, I was just delighted for Rags. I can sort of claim a little bit of football hipsterism because I always rated Rags. I thought he was solid. But to be fair, even I thought he was good as a no-nonsense centre-half. And then as he's gone on, he's worked well with Virgie. And now he's scored. He's got two goals now. He's pulling out Cruyff turns. He's like a different...
All comes down to player confidence, which we know at Pompey. Yep. If a player's, you know, confident, they're you know, they'll bring out the best of them. But I mean, it's a hard place to I wouldn't know, but from what I've heard from players, it's a hard place to play for Fratton Park when you've got 20,000 screaming Pompey fans on your back. It can take you a while to settle in. So fair play to him. He has turned his time at Pompey around big time, and he's one. Do you know one of my in my top three players of the season for how he's turned his season around? Because he yeah, fair play to him.
Yeah, we on when we released the new away kit, we got Sean to sign a couple of them because he was there at the event in the club store. We gave that away as a prize, and at the time it didn't get a huge amount of interest. So we had this second one, and he thought, we'll hold on to it for now because you know it's not the most glamorous prize. Fast forward down the line, like a couple of months ago, we put out on Twitter just after he had scored against Tranmere, I think, and we just said retweet to win, and it got over 1,000 retweets. He's like, if you want to look at the ultimate example of zero to hero, I think Sean Raggett has definitely got the
other. Oh, big time.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
I want to go back to the semi-final of the Leeson-Tottenham Trophy when emotions were high, drama just absolutely everywhere. We were 2-1 down in injury time, looking to exit at the semi-final stage. And all of a sudden, we somehow turned it around. McGeehan with a delightful chip to equalise and send Fratton Park into delirium. And then John Marquis to knock it down. And we all remember Andy Moon's famous commentary. How difficult is that? Because, I mean, the three of us were off air at the time. We were just celebrating and going nuts. But how difficult is that from your point of view? As you're probably more professional than us. You've got to put out the tweets. You've got to put out the articles. You're writing match reports.
I haven't got time to cry, Jake.
You haven't got time to cry. You haven't got time to celebrate. Your head's got to be focused and, you know, every second during that match. How difficult was that? And obviously other examples down the line for you to deal with that.
I mean, yeah, don't give us too much credit. We try and be professional, but it is difficult to hold it in. You're talking like, you know...
Norwich.
Yeah, that's exactly the example I was going to use. Yeah, I mean, for Exeter, to be fair, when a goal goes in, that's sort of like when you're immediately trying to get all of the social content out as soon as possible. So you sort of like, you almost don't have time to react. You just get your head straight down. But yeah, Exeter was definitely one where, you know, everybody was going crazy around us. So we had to have a little bit of a celebration before going into it. It was kind of awkward though, because the Exeter media team were sat right next to us, and they are absolutely lovely guys and really fantastic at what they do. So, you know, there was a huge part of me that evening that felt really sorry for them. And you could definitely see the difference in emotions of that night, because our goal tweet for John Marquis was just me smashing the keyboard. What else can you say? And they, when they sent a tweet out about the goal, they just said, "Don't take up football, kids."
Heartbreaking.
I think I'm going to have to rewatch the highlights on the Portsmouth YouTube channel for that one, especially with the commentary of Andy Moon. That was special.
Well, I have the same experience as Ollie for that match, because I was sat on the far left of our Pompey Live trio, and the Exeter media team were off to our left. And it was that final 50 minutes. If one of us was, you know, stood up, bouncing around, arms in the air, the other one had head in hands. And in the 90th minute, when that own goal goes in, and I've chucked my laptop down because I thought, well, that's me not going to Wembley to work on my first Pompey Live gig. And the guy next to me's, you know, absolutely screaming. I know. And then McGeehan obviously scores, and I look at him like, oh, not so fast, Sonny Jim. And then Mark, and I like to take sort of match notes, because I think statistics can help paint a story. There shouldn't be a whole story, but they can help assist a story. And I take, you know, shots taken, etc. And my last 5 minutes of that game, my notes are a shambles. It's, you know, Pompey shot 30 yards out off target, and then it's just got Marquis in capital letters. And my laptop's fallen off the press table down in front. I was like, it's probably broken, but we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that later, John. And the poor Exeter guy next to me, I can just see him typing like that in his hat.
And I was just laughing, wasn't I?
He just sits back like that, and he just thinks, oh, God. I felt so sorry for him.
My reaction. I remember my reaction. I just sat there laughing and just couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe what I'd just seen.
I mean, I was trying to keep my cool.
What was you doing, Jay?
I was trying to keep my cool because I was on air.
You were not keeping your cool.
One of my favourite things about that evening was I was having a chat with the security guy a couple of days later, and he said he was obviously sat in the control room watching the CCTV, and Christian Burgess scores that own goal, and Fratton Park sort of, you know, empties pretty quickly anyway because it's a difficult ground to get out of. So Fratton Park starts emptying. McGeehan's goal goes in. You can literally see people sprinting back to the team. We're talking hundreds of people sprinting back to their seats. So, yeah, what a crazy game of football
that was. We've seen plenty of them.
My granddad, who's been going for most of his days, he has this trick where in the last 5 minutes of games, he'll vacate his seat in the Fratton end, and then he'll find a space down the bottom to watch the final couple of minutes and then make his way back to the car. And he left as the own goal went in to then find his space to watch the rest of the match at the bottom. And as he put his head around the corner, that was when McGeehan scored. And I spoke to him afterwards, and he was saying to me, you know, the ground was so silent. And then he heard that sort of faint hush just before a goal goes in, when you think that's going in. And he looked up just to see it go in. And he's a man of many years, is my granddad, but he said he was dancing around like a small boy. And then for that Marquis guy, yeah, I mean, it obviously, is you lot have all said, it was carnage up in the press box. It was everywhere else as well. That was a fantastic night. And I looked around because it was the first time I'd properly lost it in the press box at a Pompey game, or at any other game I've been to.
It was good, but it wasn't.
It was no Norwich. But I was looking around like, I hope I've outdone myself. And genuinely, like, there's half the news lot hugging each other. Andy Moon's going wild, and yeah.
The Norwich game, we had national newspapers journalists tweeting about us, didn't we, Jake? Remember?
Yeah, that was on the way home, and I remember Liam driving us home, getting lost at Watford training ground, and then just reading through his tweets, just this guy, I can't even remember his name, but and then just Pompey fan in his replies, just giving him absolute abuse. By the time we got home that night, it was sort of miniature trending in Pompey fans, and the guy deleted his tweet, and everyone's just basically saying how pathetic it was.
But if you weren't there, funny within the last year, Pompey's media has received some undue attention from other clubs. Obviously, Norwich came in hard on the Pompey Live team. I wasn't a part of it at the time, but they came in hard on the Pompey media team. Then there was the Bert and Jarno who came down and said, Pompey's media are rude and they don't offer you any food. I've just seen Ollie's reaction.
There was a delicious chocolate cake. Yeah.
Come on.
And he said he didn't offer any food.
Welcome to.
Yeah. Andy and Mick are brilliant down in that press room.
So. They are brilliant, yeah. But and he put us on blast and he got shut down very quickly. Yeah. For
and then the most recent one was the Sunderland one. That was
the
funny.
Sunderland fans who have a. I think their games are broadcast by BBC Radio Newcastle, which is quite a big station. Certainly compared to us in terms of the popularity of it, and you've still got Sunderland fans listening to Express FM.
Does Ollie know about this?
I don't think I did.
Okay, no. I'll tell you. Oh, why not?
Yeah, go for it, Liam. Yeah.
So basically, for some reason, Sunderland's iFollow was streaming our iFollow. So straight away they were saying, oh, this feed is very biased. It's so like Pompey. Well, really? And then I had a couple of tweets. I don't know what they were saying, but I basically just turned around and said, oh, you bunch of squinny dins or something. I just used two Pompey phrases and they did not like it at all. They were absolutely, they were hounding us on their forums.
Yeah, they dedicated an entire forum to us.
But the funny thing was, and it's funny now because we're cool about it, but they actually thought it was the guys at Radio Solent that had said it.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But they were cool with it, so it's fine.
Yeah, so BBC Solent took flack for us because we were happy that Pompey won a football game. And I recall that game. Sunderland were falling all over the place. They were trying anything for penalties.
I don't like
they didn't
families.
Like us with the fact that we put them on blast for their antics.
That was it.
Oh dear, but yeah,
some good stories there. What's the time? What are we on? Nah, we're all right. Anything else you want to talk about, Jake? Favorite biscuit?
I think we've lost Jake.
I don't know. He's just
either jealous, that or he's doing a really good. Oh, there he is.
I don't know what's happened there. I hope I wasn't frozen on some kind of awkward frame.
No, we were just saying we've got about 10 minutes left. Is there anything else?
Your hair's growing back really quick.
Oh yeah,
impressive. It's growing back quite nicely actually.
Yeah. Your hair is progressing faster than the EFL. What has better beard. Development, Jake's beard or the EFL's decision to end a season?
What will happen first? Jake's 21 and a half years of trying to grow some sort of decent beard. Or League One restart?
I think you're winning that one right now, Jake.
Yeah, I think we're on our way.
Yeah.
I want to go back to what Ollie mentioned a few moments ago. It just reminded me of something that happened at work the other day. He mentions a security guard at the semi-final game against
Oh,
Exeter.
Here we go.
I don't think you do.
Okay.
I saw Abdul at work the other day. That's and I was actually
Abdul.
I was very happy because I saw Abdul and he's doing brilliantly. He's happy. His hair is as long as Liam's. It's absolutely wild, but no, he's still as happy and chirpy as ever. And
we'll still have to try and get him on here.
He is really missing the football. He really is missing everyone.
I think that's the stuff you miss more, isn't it?
Mm.
You don't miss being there in the 56th minute thinking, oh, we should probably make a sub soon. Yeah, you miss like the first pint. You miss saying hello to Abdul if you're a fraternender. Yes, it's those little things that, you know, every other week on a Saturday or a Tuesday, that's the stuff you want back.
But like Ollie rightly said at the start, it's nice to have this so people got a bit of normality. There's a few people watching. Should we look at some of the comments, Jake? There's quite a few.
Yeah.
Dave's impressed with my tea mug. Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I nearly pointed that out, actually.
Okay, if you're a Friday night dinner fan, then you'll appreciate that. Dave says, when are we going to know if the season will be played out or ended? Any news, lads? Your guess is better than ours, Dave.
This is the awkward thing, we're 5 episodes in and we still don't know.
I mean, we could say the vote has to be June 8th, but we were told the vote had to be this week as well, so yeah.
I still imagine us 2 or 3 weeks down the line, episode 8, 9, or 10, still sat here thinking we don't know what's going on.
This is a good one from Adrian. Sorry that before I forget it, because I will forget. Question from last week, we didn't manage to get it on. I did promise Adrian a word. What's your views on the season ending on season ticket refunds, Jake? And I've got Jake and Ryan for this one. I won't put you on a spot, Ollie.
Season ticket refunds, you say?
Yeah, like if it does end, what's your view on it? What do you think should happen?
Well, I mean, what we've got, was it four, five home league games left?
Yeah,
four home games in the league. Yeah,
yeah.
But when you look at that, there's quite a lot of money to people that are not
It is, yeah. And I think you work out when you buy a season ticket. It's
about
roughly,
80 quid or something.
Yeah, it's a fair chunk of money. Obviously, we don't know what rate we're going to get back to normality when fans are going to be allowed back in the stadiums, but maybe in an ideal world, I don't know, maybe in an ideal world, I'd like to see some sort of discount onto next season. You know, if fans are going to miss out on a few games next season, then some sort of reduction or money back guarantee. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not a businessman.
I've got an answer.
Things that will sort of work. But yeah, no, I think it is a difficult one because it is a lot of money to be juggling. It's not just like the Bury game where it was just one match and, there's a few options. But I'd like to see some sort of next season, there's some sort of issue resolved that one. I'm sure Ryan's got a better idea.
Well, my fantastic idea is an extension of yours, Jake, where it'll be carnage. So my idea will be sat on Portsdown Hill with a mix, a glass of whiskey, and watching the city tear itself to shreds, because the Bury refund was genuinely weird, the amount of fans who were in genuine rage about what we were going to do about the Bury game. And now you're talking about four games instead of one. So I look forward to the utter meltdown in terms of how we sort that out. Ollie and the guys who work at the club, I genuinely feel sorry for you, what's about to happen there, because the Bury situation did genuinely take about 4 months before there was kind of a solution implemented with that. And in the meantime, it was just hate, hate, hate from fans all the way through it. So four games, yeah, I sympathise with you there. So I'm going to sit on Ports down here.
Do you read the comments, Ollie? Do you guys read the comment, the tweet, the direct tweets, or...?
Yeah, of course we do. I mean,
but that's a laugh.
Obviously, it's
sitting in the office like, look at this.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot more fun when we're winning games rather than when we're losing.
Yeah,
but, especially the gifts.
Well, we could refund the season tickets with a free face mask. that's one of my ideas.
I've already seen a few ludicrous comments over the few weeks, which I'm sure Ollie's seen on Facebook and Twitter. Fans saying, directing towards Pompey, what's going on with the season? Will we get our money back as the football carrying on? And it kind of makes you feel like poor Ollie and Neil and Jack and Max as well, who have no idea what's going on themselves.
Take it personally, though.
Oh, no, of course. But, they're just like us. They want to know what's going on. They don't really have a clue. It's
a good suggestion here from your granddad, Jake. And it's not... Oh, that was brilliant last week, Steve Claridge. Anyway, he says, why not give season ticket holders free entry to four cup games? It's not a bad suggestion, is it?
That is if cup games continue next season.
Ollie's taking notes.
I'll get Mark on the phone quickly to ask something. The only thing I can say is, obviously, as you said, we don't know any more than sort of what we get told, but we'll always put out everything that we can, as much information as we can, to try and keep the fans informed, and always on those decisions, always the fans are always kept first and foremost in the mind, and it always goes through the Tony Goodall fan conference to make sure the fairest method of whatever it is, however it is done. So hopefully there'll be we'll be able to come up with a situation where everybody's happy, even though that's not always the most realistic thing.
Lads, it's been great to have another hour of I would say getting some more answers and getting a clearer reaction to what's going on to League One, but quite frankly, unfortunately, to those listening, to those watching, we don't.
Rick Parry on, chairman of the EFL.
That would be some breakthrough if that would
push us back a week.
Breaking news on the Express FM Facebook live stream. Ollie Marsh, it's been fantastic to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing your stories from behind the scenes. It's been great to hear.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Liam, Ryan, I'm sure you can go back to another week of tweeting about space stations and poor dad jokes.
Ryan, you've got to stop that, mate. It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, I've not done any yet.
Okay, thank you, Liam Musk.
No problem.
Liam Peake, Elon House.
It's a grime rapper name from South London, that.